Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. I love the alls of God. There are so many in Scripture if you study the all of God. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And that little phrase, who are kept by the power of God through faith. And I believe that's what we all want. We want to be kept. We know that we live in a time of a lot of uncertainty. That verse also speaks about hope. There's so much hopelessness in the world today that as Christians, we need to portray the hope of Jesus Christ to those around us and those that we come in contact with. Greet you this morning in Jesus' name. It is good to be here. I would have certainly been glad to sit and listen to someone else, but I made a commitment to the Lord. As long as he gives me breath to speak and strength to stand, I'll never say no. So yeah, this morning to Candace and Rosetta, God bless you. I don't know you, Rosetta. But when I was inquiring about who is this King girl, they said, "Well, Kenneth King." And I was like, "Oh, they were from Montezuma." And I was, "Well, I haven't seen you for many years." So, yeah, that was amazing to me. Yeah, I knew the family very well. Some have married my cousins, and some are here today. And, appreciate that connection. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to begin in Mark chapter 5. It's a story here of Jesus and several here who were pressing in to Jesus. And that's not the title of the message this morning, but I would just like to point out here what the blessings of pressing in, of perseverance and not giving up, and being serious about Jesus. Because that's really what it's all about Jesus and what he's done. And what Lavelle said this morning about, for God so loved the world that he gave. We have, our God is the giving one. He gave. And here we'll turn to in Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray you, or I beg you, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live." He believed. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest a multitude thronging thee, and you ask, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and of the damsel, and them that were with them, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway, or immediately, the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Okay, here we see two situations where people find themselves in what we would say desperate straits. I mean, they were at the end of their rope. They had nowhere else to turn. And Jairus, I can just imagine him being at home and his daughter is dying, and then he remembers Jesus, and he's probably wondering, where is Jesus? And you know, at this point he could have given up, but no, he did whatever he had to do to go to Jesus. I don't know how much effort he put in, but obviously he had to go. There was some distance he had to put an effort in to press in, because he knew that if he gets to Jesus, Jesus can take care. He is the one who can handle his problem. And when he got to Jesus and he told Jesus about it, and so Jesus agreed and started, you know, he was going to his house. But on the way, this lady, this woman, and I'm just, my imagination, you know, thinking about this woman who had spent, I mean, she had become a poor woman. Not only was she a poor woman, she was a social outcast of that time because of her situation. She was not even supposed to be culturally and according to the law, she was not even supposed to be out in public. But, you know, I can imagine her being in her house one day and there's a crowd going by. There's a lot of noise outside, and she goes to the door and she looks out, and or she asks someone, what's going on? And they said, well, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. She thinks, Jesus, I heard he's the one that can heal anything. And she forgot about her situation being culturally unclean, and it didn't matter. All that didn't matter. One thing she had to do, I got to get to Jesus. If I can only get to Jesus. And she went out in the crowd, and I don't know what she encountered. Maybe people were saying, why are you out here? Don't touch me, unclean woman. But regardless of all that, she pressed in. Nothing was going to deter her from getting to Jesus, because she knew that he was the answer to her situation. And you know, the scripture says that she touched the hem of his garment. I don't know if it says it here in Mark. Touch his clothes. There's another one of the gospels says touch the hem. And I'm thinking, why did she touch the hem? I don't believe that she got to Jesus and then stooped down. I'm thinking she was probably, the crowd is so thick, and the only way she can get to him is maybe on her hands and knees and just reach out and touch the very hem of his garment. I don't know that. But however, she touched him. Her faith. If I can just touch him. Can you imagine that kind of faith? If I can just touch him. She touched him, and immediately she felt that she was healed. And then Jesus, knowing, you know, he knowing all things, so, you know, you may have the question, why did he ask, who touched me? Because, you know, we would think that he already knew, but anyhow. And so the disciples almost were like mockingly, Jesus, these crowd bumping you and pushing against you and pressing in on you, and who touched you? But see, he knew that something special had touched him. And then the woman, of course, she came and she confessed everything, told him everything. Then he told her, said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Go and be whole of your plague. And I don't know, you know, I'm thinking about Jairus right then, in that moment. I mean, can you imagine him wringing his hands and, Jesus, we need to go. We need to go. This woman is, you know, my daughter is dying. And about that time, and maybe they start moving again, and here they come, say, hey, don't bother them anymore. Your daughter is dead. But the beautiful words of Jesus, don't be afraid. Just believe. Or in that situation, continue to believe. Yeah. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Oh, if that's a phrase. That's a phrase. And there was, yeah, there's times that, you know, this verse has been, this saying of Jesus has been such a comfort to me. You know, in times when you just don't know which way to turn. And, you know, don't be afraid. Just only believe. Believe. Believe that Jesus has our best interest at heart. Maybe we don't understand. Maybe the pain is almost unbearable. Today, 14 years ago, I buried my first wife. I'm sorry, not for it. The 14th. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. 8 years ago. And, you know, during that time of 5 years of battling, struggling with cancer and pain and just watching her waste away, I mean, that's painful. You know, it's like, God, where are you? You know, we felt like we both had faith that she could be healed. And, well, she was healed, but not the way that, you know, we thought it might be. But in the midst of all of that, whatever you face, don't be afraid. Only believe. Believe, Candace and Rosetta, believe that God has your best interest at heart. Maybe you don't understand what's happening. Maybe there's times of pain and yeah, seeking God's, you know, what's going on here? Just believe that he knows what he's doing, because he does. He does. There's so many things that take place in life, and we just got a notice this morning. Doris got a notice on her phone that one of our friends from South Carolina said that one of her friends, the husband and son, were involved in a boating accident, and the little boy was found dead, and they can't find the father. So, you know, you have to wonder, why, God? I mean, why did things? So their people are hurting. I can, yeah, just imagine how that family is hurting this morning. But in the midst of all that, God cares. Never quit believing that God is good. Never quit believing that God is good in the midst of whatever you're going. God loves us, and he knows what's going on. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. He knows what's going on. Now, they saw Jesus as their only hope, and they believed, and then they received. And I guess if I have a title for a message this morning, it would be that. Believe and receive. Not name it and claim it, but believe and receive. There's so much in Scripture about us receiving from the hand of God. Receiving. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so it's up to us to receive the gift. And believing and receiving, I'd like to just do a little illustration of that. And so today, Candace and Rosetta, I have envelopes here, and each one has your name on it. And it's a gift that I want to give you, okay? Don't open it till you get home, but I want to give you a gift. Now, if I tell you, Candace, that I have a gift in this envelope for you, will you believe me? Do you believe me? Okay. So, if you believe that, will you come up and receive it? All right, Rosetta, if I tell you that there's a gift in here for you, do you believe that? Or will you come receive it? Okay, now what you just saw is what I'm trying to bring out. They're an example of believing and then being willing to receive. You know, there's a lot of people that say that they believe Scripture, they believe that Jesus died for their sin, but see, they could believe all day long that I have a gift for them, but if they would not have come up and got it to receive it, I would not have given it to them. So now I want to take that a little further. Did they earn what I just gave them? No, it was a gift, right? It was a gift. And that's what we need to understand about salvation. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we, it's unearned. It's given. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not something that we earned. And I believe that's something that we need to come to grips with, that it's a gift. And then it's up to us to receive it. Now we have a responsibility after we receive it. You know, it tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, I think it is, about how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation. You have received salvation. Now take care of it. Walk in that salvation. If you have been saved, walk and live like you've been saved. You know, it's not... we don't believe in just cheap grace. You know, we come and receive and then go on about our business. No, now that we have received the gift, take care of it. It's the most precious thing, not what I just gave you, but the gift of salvation is the most precious thing you'll ever receive. Take care of it. Be jealous of it. Be jealous of your relationship with Jesus. Don't let anything ever separate you from that relationship. It is yours. Salvation is yours, not because you work for it. Salvation is yours, not because you've been obedient to your parents. Is that important? Yes, but that's not what saves you. Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood, and he was buried. He rose again from the dead. We just commemorated that in the last weeks. That is where your salvation lies. Nothing else. Nothing else. But now that you have received it, walk in it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Scripture tells us. There are so many things, and I don't have time to get into to many, but about receiving that it tells us in Scripture. I'm just thinking about Acts chapter 1. Jesus, when he had finished his ministry and he was crucified and rose again, it said that he led the disciples out of Jerusalem there, and it was probably on the Mount of Olives. It doesn't necessarily say that, but he led the disciples out, and they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power or authority, but you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then I'll go on. He goes on to say then, and as he had spoken, he was taken up from them into heaven, and the clouds received him out of their sight. And while they stood steadfastly looking towards heaven, as he was taken up from them, there stood by them two men in white apparel, which also said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, say same Jesus, same Jesus that is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And that, brethren, is why we're here today. If we wouldn't believe that, we wouldn't be here. But Jesus said he's coming again. We believe that. And so that's why we are, we gather together. And, we believe that. And then here again, he says, ye shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost. There again is receiving that power that we receive. It's not something we earned. It's not something we work for. The Holy Spirit is a gift that gives us the power and the strength to live over the onslaughts of the enemy. Just remember, the wages of sin is death. Isn't that something that we can exchange death for life? Think about that. You know, we have the sentence of death, and you think about dying, but I'm talking about eternal death, like hell and damnation, and we exchange that for life, and it's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Titus 3, he says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he has shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There it comes again. We have an inheritance, and we have that living hope. That is so marvelous. In the midst of all the hopelessness that we see, that as Christians, we have this marvelous, wonderful hope. You know, that knowing that if we don't see the sunrise tomorrow morning, so what? We'll be in glory. Do we really believe that? Do we live like we believe that? I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 1, 2. First Corinthians 2 is something that I hear again talking about receiving. And here recently I was studying this and just some new thoughts, and you know, I'm open for correction, but just some things here that I hadn't noticed before. It says in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And you know, used to when I'd come across that verse, you think about heaven. You know, we can't really comprehend what heaven's like. Paul said that, you know, he saw into the third heaven and there were no words to express what he saw. But I'd like to go on. It says, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, and so start looking at that. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And now look what it says. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now he tells us up there that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. And then he says, but God hath revealed them to his Spirit. So is what he's speaking about, and this is I think it comes in the Old Testament, probably in Isaiah, this eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Here again, he's speaking about a gift. So what are some of the things that by the Spirit of God are given to us? And as I thought about that, and I know this is, just touching the surface, hopefully, but, righteousness, righteousness is something that is imparted to us, that is given, not our righteousness, not something we work for, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ as we come to him and receive the new birth. His righteousness is something that is freely given to us. How about holiness? The word of God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, we all know that we don't attain to that. Holiness is one of those things that by the Spirit has been given to us. We are holy because Jesus is holy. It's Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's Christ in us. It's not what we are, naturally. Those things that, here again, it talks about those things that are freely given to us. Then in Corinthians, I'm not going to turn to this, we know that therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And there's one other scripture that I'm going to refer to yet. In 2 Peter. This is something, I love this scripture. And I'm just going to cut in here in verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Think about all the wonderful promises of God. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And this could be another whole message talking about divine power and the divine nature. And I like to think of this as the divine nature, as divine nature anointing. Because that's wherefore, what makes old things passed away, when we have the divine nature anointing. It's Christ in us now is the hope of glory. We have that anointing, which is by the Spirit of God. And I like divine nature anointing. I like to think the reason that old things are passed away is because now I have a new DNA. Okay? We are born with a corrupted DNA, and physically, but even a spiritual DNA is corrupted. But in the new birth, we're given a new DNA. And I like to think of this divine nature anointing is the DNA of God that causes old things to pass away and all things become new. That's what the transformation that takes place in the Spirit within inside of us, when that's what the new birth is. And that's what I want. I want to live daily under that, the new DNA, divine nature anointing. And It's just, yeah, it's a blessing when you think about that. I don't want to take up more time. I just want to say to Candace and Rosetta, God bless you. Press into Jesus. Just remember that the gift that you have been given, the gift of salvation, I believe with all my heart that you have received that. You are born again. Believe it. Believe that you're born again. Believe that you have received a new nature, and then walk in that. Walk in it. Now, would the enemy come with doubts? I believe that we would all, you know, if we have any maturity in the spirit, we would say, yeah, yeah, he'll come. He might even come tomorrow and say, what'd you do? You know, what did that amount to? But remember one thing. Remember, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He will try to inject lies into your mind. Just be determined to keep focused on Jesus and walk with Jesus. Talk to him every day. You know, I know that you come from godly families. And, you know, family devotions are important. But that does not take the place of you daily finding a place alone to talk to Jesus. Even in your work, just talk to him. He's your best friend. Talk to him. Relationship. Guard that relationship with everything that is within you. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the blessing of being here today. Thank you for these dear sisters that sit before us in anticipation of receiving baptism. That's another thing that I passed over where Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I pray upon these dear sisters right now in this moment as they receive their baptism. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your faithfulness. And we commit the rest of this service to you. In your name, Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Thank you.